In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
10 virgins took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. 10 is the number of completion, so this is all who have called themselves Christians throughout the history of the world. All 10 slept. That is, all died. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and in their waiting, they fell asleep and died. Because the wages of sin is death. We too are destined for death. You can blame cancer. You can blame heart disease, heart failure. You can blame viruses, bacteria, and anything else you want. Those ultimately are not the cause of death. The cause of death is sin. For the soul that sins shall die. So point the finger at Adam if you'd like, or at your parents, or at Satan. But ultimately, you are the one who is responsible for the sins that you commit. And so you are the one who is responsible for your own death. If you had not a fallen flesh, you would not die, but because you have a fallen flesh, therefore, you will die. Death comes to all because all have sinned. The 10 were virgins, and they all died. They had the outward trappings of Christianity. They were dressed in virgin purity, adorned their lives with good and godly works, and yet still they died. They had the lamp in their hand, for the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and still they died. So we must learn how to die. For only when we know how to die will we truly then know how to live. It starts by speaking about death in the way that Scripture speaks about death. So no more talk about passing away or passing through or passing on. And certainly not talk about kicking the bucket or the end of the line. And we will not talk about the grave as a final resting place or pushing up daisies or whatever other idioms you'd like, euphemisms you'd like. We speak about death with all the beauty that Scripture speaks about it, even though it is our enemy. Scripture describes the blessed state of those who have died in the Lord. They have fallen asleep. The angels have carried them to Abraham's bosom. They are with the Lord. They are resting with their fathers. They have gained the victory. The more that we talk like God, the more we will think like God, and the less afraid we will be of death. I know, no one is afraid of death, but we are afraid of the manner we will die, which is simply to say we're afraid of death. But no more, once Christ reveals that it's falling asleep in the arms of our dear Savior. Death takes nothing away from us, for God has turned this, our greatest enemy, into our greatest good. Death deprives us of nothing. But it simply grants us a peaceful rest from this life of hard labor. And who of us doesn't want to be done with all the politics, with all the hardships, the suffering, the difficulties of life? Who of us doesn't want to be done with doctor visits and hospital visits and surgeries and medications? Who of us doesn't want to be free from the curse of sin, which causes fires and floods and hurricanes and other disasters? Who of us doesn't want to be free from guilt and regret, from the immorality of a broken, fallen world, from wars and rumors of wars? Wouldn't it be nice to be free from the assaults of the devil? Wouldn't it be nice to be free from our own sinful flesh that constantly leads us or tempts us away from God? Wouldn't it be nice to hop out of bed in the morning, to skip like a child, to develop your relationships with your loved ones in a far more deep and grander way than we ever possibly could on this earth. And best of all, wouldn't it be nice to see God, his hands, his feet, his side? So why would we be afraid of death? We should not hasten it, but neither should we be afraid of it. We should echo the words of St. Paul, "I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. For to live is Christ, to die is gain." And we know many people, Christians, who have died in the faith and have gained that victory. We grieve not for them, but for us. We still labor, they now rest. We still work and struggle forward, they now have the victory. They have lost nothing, though we miss them. Death may have stripped them of their physical life, but not their oil. It took their breath, but not their faith. They may lie in the darkness of the grave, but they still are children of the light and sons of God. They may be motionless, but they are still temples of the Holy Spirit. And the fire of faith still burns brightly atop their heads. The vast, vast majority of Christians have died in the faith, waiting. But not one was lost. The midnight cry will wake the dead from their slumber, and they shall rise to meet the Lord. And with them, we will be with the Lord forever. Knowing that this is the end, or knowing that this is what death brings, we are now free. We are free to live the life that God has given to us without worry that somehow we are doing the wrong things. The world hears that death is coming, and they begin to count the number of days they have left, and have even developed websites that'll tell you how many days you have left on this earth. So some will try to ignore it. They escape into the reality, or the false reality, of false highs and false dreams of entertainment, constantly intaking music or podcasts or videos or YouTube or something, anything, to try to distract them from the reality that they are dying. They claim they're learning something, and probably to some degree, but they have also well overindulged. And so I wonder how much of this constant entertainment and constant need for noise is just simply trying to escape the reality that Grandpa is no longer at the Thanksgiving table, that my spouse no longer lies next to me, that my body is no longer capable, that my mind is becoming frail. Better to fill it with noise, holidays, work, better to distract ourselves with those things, they say, than to think about the reality of death. Others do think about death and take the opposite side. They try to make the most of every single day. They have their list, call it a bucket list, call it whatever you want, and they check off all that they would like to experience and see, the places they would like to go, the sights they would like to see, the foods they would like to taste, all these other things on their list so they can find fulfillment for whatever few days they have left. Because as they say, you only have one life, make the most of it. And countless movies are based off of that premise, someone working 9 to 5, wanting to be done with that daily grind, and someone more spontaneous and exciting coming in and giving them so-called freedom. Neither of those are the Christian's response, though. So neither of those are your response. You are not afraid to talk about death. Or to think about it. You are not afraid to think about your age or your frailties or your loneliness because you believe that your days have only just begun. This life is not it. And so you're not missing out on anything if you have never traveled or filled out or checked off even one box. You're not missing out on anything if you've never gotten married or had grandchildren or seen this or that natural wonder. Your life is complete because you hold a lamp filled with oil in your hand, eagerly expecting the bridegroom. You live not for yourself, but you live for him. You live not to check boxes off, but you live to be faithful to him. Every thought, every word, every action exudes a quiet confidence that this is not your best life. This is not as good as it gets. You still weep, but never without hope. You still grieve, but always confident of the resurrection, and you still may die. Unless our Lord returns, you will die. But then you finally gain the victory. In fact, it's what you prepare for every single day. You've prepared for death. You've died to sin and lived for Christ, which is nothing more than repentance and faith. Your life is being conformed to Christ so that when Christ appears, you also may appear with him in heavenly glory. His life was sacrificial, so also is your life now sacrificial. Yes, you have hopes and dreams and things you would like to see and people perhaps you would like to meet and places you would like to visit, and all of that is fine and good. But you do not think for one second that if somehow you do not fulfill that, that your life is lacking. You die to your plans and you live for God's. You die to your dreams and you live for God's desires. And in that you find joy in fatherhood, motherhood, in your marriage, in your work, as mundane and boring from 9 to 5 as it may be, there is joy because it is a gift given by God so that you may be of some benefit to someone else. He has won for you eternal life, and wonder of wonders, has seen fit to use you in this life. So what if we never get to travel? Get married, have grandkids. So what if we never see the sights or enjoy the sounds or taste the fine cuisines? With the fear of death removed, so also the fear of not being fulfilled is removed. So also the fear of missing out is removed. So also the fear of loneliness or a short life is removed. Because we can die boldly, we can also now live boldly, for whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And yes, we will fail. We still have that fallen flesh that constantly pulls us away from the Word of God. But wisdom is not something that you work on. Wisdom is something that flows from faith, from the oil of faith. And the oil is not something that you must replenish on your own, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so the wise go to where the Holy Spirit is active, giving faith, deepening and strengthening faith. For they know that soon the cry will sound and Christ will return. They go to the Word and the sacraments. For there the Holy Spirit accomplishes his good work in you and fills your lamps with oil again and again. God gives faith. And God also gave you your good works, that virgin purity, and he also gave you that lamp, that word of God, and he also gave you the desire to eagerly await for him. So yes, God knows you. He knows everything about you. He is the one who has marked his name on your forehead at baptism. You are his own. And when you sully your garments, he will wash them. And when through your own carelessness your oil begins to dwindle, he will fill it once more so that it will overflow. So yes, God knows. that you are waiting for him to return, eagerly, patiently. And those who wait on the Lord will never be put to shame. So do not fear death or the way that you will die, for death is nothing more than the gate to life eternal. And do not fear living a dying life, for you are being conformed to him who loved you and died for you. To him who now fills your lamps with oil, so that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb that will have no end. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.